Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 5, which says, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." So we have the Apostle Paul talking about this ministry that himself, Silas, and Timothy had among these saints in Thessalonica, talking about the information that they've been communicating to this assembly. That information would start with the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, believing in that and that alone for salvation. And then from there, it would build upon all of the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, the things that he identifies and says he received information by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. He communicated that information to the members of the body of Christ through his epistles and gives the instructions for us to follow him as he followed Christ. And when he's saying here about, he's saying, as ye know, it takes them back to the issue of he had been among them for a 3-week period, ministering to them, teaching the things that the Word of God was saying to them. And we know that they've accepted the things that he was teaching as the Word of God that was given to them for this dispensation. And we know that as the Apostle Paul received things, he would teach them, and he would have that issue of the progressive revelation that occurs. And that's why you see things of where at one point he's doing something, and then later on he's no longer doing that because he receives the revelation that says that that's not part of what's supposed to go on for today. For, you know, one thing that's an example that is the issue of water baptism. At one point he was baptizing individuals. Then you see him in the epistle in Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians identifies, you know, about, you know, thanking God that he had baptized none of them except Crispus and Gaius, and then identifies later in that same epistle about that there's that spirit baptism that occurs, and he had received that information that said that this was going to replace that issue of water baptism. So you stop doing this, do this, and that's what he does. You know, and that's that whole issue of progressive revelation. As he receives new information directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he received those things, he would communicate them out to individuals because it was the Word of God that he was receiving. And we looked at, you know, over the last, the issue of, you know, the flattering words, and now he brings up this issue of nor a cloak of covetousness. Now, when he's saying this, this is, you know, true as well of that this is something that they had not done. They were not doing this, you know, in any of the assemblies. And when you look at that idea of a cloak, you know, that's a loose outer garment that's worn over other clothes. It's a covering that conceals things, a disguise or a pretext, an excuse, a fair pretense. You get the idea when you're looking at this of this idea of something being taught to where an individual would be teaching something for a reason that is being hidden from who is receiving that information. And the idea of a cloak of covetousness, that idea of that he was trying to do something for his own coveting, his own gain that would have been coming about with it. And you see that the scriptures really talk about that whole idea of coveting in an individual doing things in that manner. And, you know, it starts all the way back, you know, with things under the law. You know, for example, you can go back to a passage. For example, let's go to Exodus chapter number 20, where we're going to see the information that was given to Moses here, you know, in that covenant that had been made with the nation of Israel. We'll see here in Exodus chapter number 20. Let's read here verse number 17. It says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And so the idea that under the law was that they were not to have this idea of coveting what somebody else actually had. Now, under the law system, what you we actually would have seen with them, because when we're talking about the physical blessings, you know, a big reason why they were not to covet in that manner is because if they were doing the right things in God's program, which meant that they were doing the things of the law and performing properly, then they would have received the physical blessings. So they would have received all of the things that they were actually going to be coveting. So there was no need for them to actually have those things. There would have been that type of a desire to say, I really want what somebody else has. Now, you see, you know, for us, you know, we're not dealing with physical blessings during this dispensation. The promise that's been given to us, the members of the body of Christ, is that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But you see, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about some issues related to the coveting and how this is something that a member of the body of Christ should not be doing. For example, we can go over to the book of Romans, and we'll go to Romans chapter number 7 to see what Paul is going to say about this here. And in Romans chapter number 7, we're going to start here right at verse number 7. It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Yea, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead." So you see how Paul starts talking about these issues of the law and uses the example of the idea of that a person did not know the things of lust without the law actually saying, thou shalt not covet. You know, so he's bringing this issue up, and as he continues on in this epistle here, let's go over to chapter number 13 of Romans, and we're going to see Paul is going to say here, let's pick up here in verse number 8, says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And so here you have Paul, and he's talking about this issue. And he talks about how if a person is demonstrating love, it's going to fulfill the law. And, you know, we know we're not under the law, but how are we to be motivated by things? Are we motivated by fear? Or are we motivated by love? Paul's demonstrating what love would actually do here. And if a person demonstrates that love, they would not do any of the things that he lays out there in verse number 9. You see, Paul continue to talk about this issue of coveting and taking it away from who we are as the members of the body of Christ, and is identifying it as part of not who we are now, but who we once were prior to our salvation. For example, you can look over in the book of Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5, where we'll see Paul talk about this issue of coveting here. We're going to start here at verse number 3 of Ephesians 5. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now, here you have Paul, and he's talking here in the book of Ephesians, dealing with these saints. You see how in this epistle, he has laid out some doctrine in the first few chapters of the epistle. And as he lays out the doctrine, he shifts from, here's the information you need to apply to your life, and he shifts it into an issue of, okay, if you're applying these things to your life, this is going to be the result of it. And the result of it is going to be that these things, as he's laying them out here in verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. The saints should not be demonstrating any of those things. We have a responsibility as the members of the body of Christ to be functioning as Paul identifies over in the book of Philippians, that we're lights unto this world. Individuals look at us who are saved and say, you know, this is the behavior that's identifying someone as being a member of the body of Christ. And if they see the person doing all these things that are contrary to the doctrine, it's going to have an impact on whether they put their trust in the gospel message that's being presented. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to say a very similar thing here in this chapter. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we're going to start here at verse number 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And as Paul is identifying this here, you see how he lays out these very different things, talking about how this is not supposed to be who we are. Then he identifies the fact, you know, all things are lawful unto me, you know, so I can do those things. He says, but all things are not expedient. You know, so, you know, there's no law that's telling me, you know, to not be a thief. There's no law to tell me to not covet. There's no law that's telling me not to be a drunkard. However, it's not expedient to do those things, because the Word of God, the doctrine that's given to us in Paul's epistles, is identifying that these are the things that we're not supposed to do. And if we're doing them, we're not functioning under the issue of faith, because faith comes by the Word of God. Paul identifies in the very last verse of Romans chapter number 14 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, that sin that he's identifying there, you know, that's not the same sin that when it talks about that we've been made free from sin earlier in the book of Romans, because that sin's the sin that's the transgression of the law. That's the sin that would have resulted in us facing the second death. That's the sin that was taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ when he was hanging on the cross. His blood paid for that sin. There is a sin that Paul identifies in Romans chapter number 14, which the whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The result of that sin, that's not the second death. The result of somebody doing the things that's not of faith is the individual building the wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ, putting themselves in that position of where, you know, they're not going to lose their salvation. They're not going to have any of those things happen, but they're going to have a loss of rewards that's going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for the members of the body of Christ. The catching out of the saints in the next event that immediately happens thereafter, which is the judgment seat, the rewards being handed out. And if there's wood, hay, and stubble that's built, the person loses their reward. Now, we see the things, you know, when we talk about, you know, a thief, you see in the book of Ephesians where it very clearly is telling the person, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. The idea is to, you know, don't steal, but to work. Paul also very clearly identifies some things about how to answer that idea of coveting things. And we see that answer on things over in the book of Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. And here in Philippians chapter number 4, we're going to see the Apostle Paul say here, verse number 12, he says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, for I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So here you have Paul identifying that he's been instructed that he can function in any of those conditions, you know, whether he has everything that he needs, he has more than everything that he needs, or whether he lacks the basic necessities of life. You know, this is not a thing where he's coveting, you know, having, you know, all sorts of gold and riches. The issue is he's talking about to be hungry. You know, that's the very basic needs of things. Then he identifies how he's able to get through any of those situations. The very next verse says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He can get through those issues through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets through those issues by relying on the Word of God that's been given to him for this dispensation, relying on the information that's contained in his epistles. And that's why you see, if you will skip down to verse number 19 in this same chapter here, and it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul's saying that the need is going to be supplied through the Lord Jesus Christ. The need that a person has, you know, the first need somebody has is salvation. The next need is the comfort that comes from the Word of God to be able to get through any of those situations that a person faces. That's why you see, you know, earlier in the chapter when he talks about the issue of prayer, we read verses 6 and 7 here, when it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That the issue is that the believer is supposed to offer up everything that they're going through in prayer, whether it's the good things, whether it's the bad things, whether it's the spiritual things, whether it's the physical things. That's why it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, you know, individuals try to limit what everything means, but everything truly means everything. Offering those things up in prayer and with thanksgiving, and the result of it is that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The end result of it is that they're going to receive the peace of God as a result of offering up those prayers. Now, what Paul is saying here is he's talking about this issue that they're teaching them these things and not doing it with a cloak of covetousness. The real issue is that, you know, they weren't teaching in a manner to where, okay, you know, we're teaching you this, but you need to give us all sorts of donations or give us all sorts of money. You know, some of the things that you see unfortunately happen in many ministries today, of where it's really focused on the, you know, gimme, gimme, gimme with it, and, you know, that's the only way that you're going to receive those blessings. To the point of where, you know, unfortunately exposés have been done on some of these individuals where they've actually, by hidden camera, have seen some of them actually say the thing of, you know, not how much money did, you know, the assembly make, but how much money did I make through these donations? Looking at it as their own money, coveting those things. Paul, when he was going around ministering, you see how, you know, he was actually working. He worked as a tent maker. So that way, there was many times that he was doing that. So that way, he was making his living. Then he was teaching. So that way, there was no issue of, well, you're only doing this for the money. You know, he was doing it because this is what God had instructed him to do. He was doing it because he was functioning in that role as being an ambassador for Christ, carrying out that ministry of reconciliation. And that whole issue of coveting, you see Paul bring up, but I want to go over here to the book of 1 Timothy, to where we're going to see Paul say something here. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We're going to start here at verse number 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, in a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, Paul is describing things here. You know, he first goes back to that issue of what you see in the book of Philippians about the individual being content in any of these situations, and saying that, you know, as long as a person has food, as long as they have clothing, they should be content. Then takes into a discussion about rich individuals, and he's not blaming rich people and saying, okay, it's the whole issue of the money that they have, because when you look at what verse 10 says, you know, individuals will look and says, and they'll say what it says, for money is the root of all evil. And that's not what the verse says. The verse says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not the issue. It's the covetousness that comes about. It's that thought process that unfortunately comes into some individuals where, you know, I've made this much money, and they have money that can meet all of their needs for the rest of their life. And instead of looking at it as that way and being content, it's, okay, how do I double this? How do I triple this? What am I going to have to do in order to accomplish those things. And if I'm going to have to do things that are going to harm people in some way in order to keep doing it, I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep making more and more money, even though I should be content in that situation. That's the idea of where the love of money becomes the root of all evil. It's the covetousness that comes about with it. And that's why Paul, he's talking about this whole idea of how they were ministering. It really came about with the fact that they did not have this as part of who they were. It was not part of the ministry that they were carrying out. Now, we're going to stop here. We're going to finish up verse number 5 in our next episode, and probably even you'll start the very beginning of verse number 6 as well. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have links and information about how to watch our services live on Facebook on Sunday mornings as they're happening. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible studies through a conference call information. And you know, when I'm teaching, we were going through the books of Peter, looking at how those play a role in God's plan and contrasting it with some things that the Apostle Paul writes. When Pastor Reed is teaching, he's been going through the book of Romans and looking at the doctrine that the Apostle Paul has given to us as the members of the body of Christ today. And always remember, if you have any questions or comments about anything that's on our website, any of the messages that you hear, anything that you hear in any of these broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.